It's a small world. Relations between performance on 5 spatial tasks and 5 mathematical tasks in undergraduate students. Veronique Delage, Richard J. Dacre, Genevieve Trudel, Ian M. Lyons, Aaron A. Maloney. Author note: this research has been funded by a Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada discovery grant to EAM. Correspondence concerning this article should be sent to Veronique Delage and Aaron A. Maloney, School of Psychology, University of Ottawa, 136 Jean-Jacques Lussier, Vanier Hall, Ottawa, Ontario, K1N6N5, Canada. Email vdela018@uottawa.ca, erin.maloney@uottawa.ca. The results of this paper were presented in a poster presentation of the same name at the 2022 CSBBCS conference in Halifax, Nova Scotia. In addition, dataset 1 of our study has been previously used in other published papers, but the research questions and analyses included in this paper are all new and unique to this paper. Declaration of interest: none. All materials and data are available at the following link: https://osf.io/a78qj/question mark view_only=0f4b407a1a6c4708b402ce5d01 1b0bbe. Abstract. One of the most robust relations in cognition is that between spatial and mathematical reasoning. One important question is whether this relation is domain general or if specific relations exist between performance on different types of spatial tasks and performance on different types of mathematical tasks. In this study, we explore unique relations between performance on 5 spatial tasks and 5 mathematical tasks. An exploratory factor analysis conducted on dataset 1, N equals 391, yielded a two-factor model, one spatial factor and one mathematical factor with significant cross-domain factor loadings. The general two-factor model structure was replicated in a confirmatory factor analysis conducted in a separate dataset, N equals 364, but the strength of the factor loadings differed by the task. Multidimensional scaling and network-based analyses conducted on the combined datasets revealed one spatial cluster, with the central node and one more tightly interconnected mathematical cluster. Both clusters were interconnected via the math task assessing geometry and spatial sense. The unique links identified with the network-based analysis are representative of a small world network. These results have theoretical implications for our understanding of the spatial mathematical relation and practical implications for our understanding of the limitations of transfer between spatial training paradigms and mathematical tasks. Keywords: mathematical reasoning, spatial reasoning, small world networks. Public significance statement: we investigated unique relations between 5 different mathematical tasks and 5 different spatial tasks in 2 different datasets of undergraduate students. We found that the mathematical tasks were strongly interconnected, forming a tight group, and the spatial tasks were also interconnected, forming another group. Both groups were connected via geometry task, who had unique relations with both the mathematical and spatial tasks. The findings indicate specific relations between the mathematical and spatial domains. It has been argued that one of the most robust relations in cognition and learning is that between spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning. Spatial reasoning refers to mentally visualizing, rotating, and transforming spatial and visual information. It is generally found that poor performance on tasks thought to require spatial reasoning is associated with weaker performance on tasks thought to require mathematical reasoning. This relation has been observed in many stages of development, from children to adolescents and adults. Further, evidence of a potential causal relation between spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning can be seen in a meta-analysis by Hawes et al. 2022, in which it was found that the average effect size of spatial training on mathematics was 0.28, Hedges G, relative to controlled conditions, with age serving as a significant moderator. Important to note, however, is the fact that there are inconsistent findings within the literature where in some cases spatial training transfers to mathematics reasoning, and in some cases it does not. For a review, see Hawes et al. 2022. Although the general relation between performance on spatial tasks and performance on mathematical tasks is well established, there are many questions regarding the nature of this relation. Notably, we have not yet determined why and how spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning are related, and whether these relations are domain general or domain specific. In other words, it is unknown whether spatial reasoning in general relates to mathematical reasoning in general due to some type of shared underlying representation or processing, or whether specific types of spatial reasoning are related to specific types of mathematical reasoning and not to other types of mathematical reasoning. Within the more domain general argument, one proposed explanation for why these two general constructs are related revolves around the theory that numbers are spatially represented. Indeed, many researchers believe that numbers are represented in the mind along a mental number line, akin to a ruler, and that this representation is inherently visual-spatial in nature. Thus, numerical and mathematical reasoning is believed to be related to spatial reasoning via recourse to the mental number line. Other researchers within the domain general camp theorize that spatial processes are recruited for solving mathematical tasks. Consistent with this claim, performing mathematical tasks and spatial tasks activate similar neural circuits, suggesting recruitment of some of the same underlying cognitive processes. On the other hand, it may be the case that relations between spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning are not domain general, but rather that unique relations exist between specific spatial skills and specific mathematical skills. For example, visual-spatial working memory demands vary depending on the layout of an additional problem and the difficulty of substructions. This domain-specific hypothesis may explain the inconsistent findings within the spatial training literature. If the relations between space and math are domain general, then one would expect to see transfer as a function of training. However, if there are unique relations between certain types of spatial reasoning and certain types of mathematical reasoning, and researchers opt to train one type of spatial reasoning and test for transfer to one type of mathematical reasoning that happen to be unrelated, then one would not expect to see transfer. The domain-specific hypothesis hinges on the fact that within the domains of both space and math, there are different tasks that are believed to be indexing different types of spatial and mathematical reasoning. This heterogeneity within each domain makes understanding the link between math and space more complex. Adding even more complexity, there remains debate within the field regarding how to divide, define, and name the subcategories of spatial reasoning. Similarly, there are multiple strands of mathematics that likely index different types of mathematical reasoning. Despite this, in the literature examining the relations between spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning, different categories of spatial reasoning and different categories of mathematical reasoning are often used interchangeably and simply discussed under the umbrella of spatial reasoning and mathematics, respectively. In this article, we take the stance that spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning both represent heterogeneous categories, and we test the hypothesis that the relations between these categories are domain-specific. Below, we discuss the existing studies that have led us to this hypothesis. Correlational studies. In this overview, we synthesize correlational studies that investigate the relations between specific spatial skills and mathematical skills. See Mix and Chang 2012 for a thorough review. These studies often involve children and adolescents as well as adults. Findings across age groups are not sufficiently isolated to permit age-specific conclusions. We categorize these relations based on the type of spatial skill assessed for ease of presentation. Spatial visualization. Performance on spatial visualization tasks, which require mental transformation of 2D and 3D objects, is related to performance on several types of mathematics. For example, Performance on the block design task is positively related to performance on arithmetic word problems in 12-year-olds and on a counting task in 6-year-olds. In Harris et al. 2020, performance on the spatial visualization subtest of the spatial reasoning instrument was a positive predictor of 5th graders, 10 to 12-year-olds, performance on geometry and measurement questions and number sense questions. Harris et al. 2020 also found the same pattern in 8th graders, 13 to 14-year-olds, with performance measured with the paper folding task. The positive relation between performance on spatial visualization tasks and performance on a variety of mathematical tasks is observed in kindergartners up to high school students. Mental rotation. Performance on mental rotation tasks, which require individuals to mentally rotate objects, a substrand of spatial visualization, has also been shown to correlate positively with performance in geometry, word problems, and arithmetic tasks, as well as general standardized math tests in adults and adolescents. More recently, the relation between performance on mental rotation tasks and arithmetic, as well as overall mathematical tasks, has also been found in children, although this relation is not always found for every age group. Disembedding. Research exploring the relation between disembedding performance, which requires finding figures in a distracting background, and mathematics performance has found that there were significant but weak relations between disembedding performance and performance on math tests, number line estimation tasks, and approximate number sense tasks in children. The relation between performance on disembedding tasks and mathematical tasks doesn't seem to have been studied in adolescents or adults. Perspective taking. Perspective taking performance has been previously related to geometry and measurement tasks, number sense tasks, and number line estimation tasks, but again only in children. For example, Harris et al. 2020 found that performance on the spatial orientation subtest of the spatial reasoning instrument was positively correlated with performance on geometry and measurement questions and number sense questions in 5th and 8th graders. As with disembedding, the relation between performance on perspective-taking tasks and mathematical tasks doesn't seem to have been studied in adolescents or adults. Navigation. Navigation, which refers to the ability to navigate through environments, has recently been identified as an important subcomponent of spatial reasoning. Navigation was one of the 3 subcomponents of spatial reasoning identified by the factor analyses used to create a scale measuring anxiety about tasks involving spatial reasoning. Navigation tasks are also related to the concept of self-direction and large-scale spatial skills, as found in the Santa Barbara Sense of Direction Scale, which measures environmental spatial abilities. These studies have explored the relation between navigation performance and math anxiety, but no studies to our knowledge have yet to explore the relation between navigation performance and mathematics performance. Factor analyses. Another method of exploring relations between different spatial and mathematics tasks is to use methods that incorporate many tasks within the same analysis, such as factor analysis. Mix et al. 2016 had over 800 children from kindergarten, mean age 6.04, 3rd grade, mean age 9.04, and 6th grade, mean age 11.74. Complete a series of mathematical and spatial tasks. Using cross-domain factor analysis and cross-domain multiple regression analyses, they found that the tasks converged into 2 factors, one mostly spatial and one mostly mathematical. But the cross-domain loadings obtained in the factor analyses were not consistent across age groups. A possible explanation the authors suggest for the results is the novel versus familiar hypothesis. In this hypothesis, spatial reasoning is more important in learning and completing novel math problems than familiar ones. Indeed, the math tasks that cross-loaded onto the spatial factor, calculation, fractions, and algebra, are new and challenging concepts for kindergartners, 3rd graders, and 6th graders, respectively. Interestingly, the authors replicated the study, and although the general 2-factor model, one spatial, one mathematical, and all within domain factor loadings replicated, not all cross-domain loadings were the same in the second wave of participants. The authors determined that cross-domain loadings, even those that were replicated, appear much more fragile and context-specific than the within-domain loadings. These results may be because relations between different types of spatial and mathematical tasks in elementary school children are variable. It is unclear, however, if these relations stabilize throughout development and are more stable in adults. To our knowledge, no research has taken a parallel approach in adults, wherein the relations between performance on multiple spatial tasks and multiple math tasks have been assessed within participants. Against this background, we sought to identify specific relations between spatial and mathematical reasoning tasks in undergraduate students and determine if these relations are consistent across two different datasets. Current study. The objective of the current study is to extend our understanding of the relation between mathematical and spatial reasoning. More specifically, we are interested in identifying specific relations between performance on five different spatial and mathematical tasks in undergraduate students. First, we will identify these relations by conducting cross-domain factor analyses on two separate datasets. Given some of the inconsistent findings in the literature on the latent structure between mathematical and spatial reasoning, we felt it prudent to obtain two independent datasets and to test the replicability of our findings. In the second dataset, we included a task that indexes working memory WM capacity, that is, the backwards letter span task, as a control variable. Given the characterization of WM as a dissociable cognitive skill with unique links to learning outcomes, and the findings that WM is a significant predictor of academic achievement, we included it as a domain general measurement to help control for the possibility that people who are strong in one academic area, for example math, are simply likely to be strong in all academic areas. In both datasets, undergraduate participants completed five spatial tasks and five sets of math questions, each set from a different strand of mathematics. Second, we then performed a second set of analyses, multidimensional scaling, MDS, and network-based analyses on both datasets combined to determine whether there was a support for the factor analyses and help visualize the findings. We have taken three relatively new approaches to explore this question. First, we opted to use the math strands outlined in the mathematics public curriculum in the geographic region in which the study herein was conducted, because we felt that this would have the greatest chance of representing the types of mathematics most commonly encountered, at least during schooling years, by the participants in the study. The Ontario Mathematics Curriculum, grades 1 to 8, divides math knowledge into five strands. 1. Data management and probability. 2. Measurement. 3. Number sense enumeration. 4. Geometry and spatial sense. And 5. Algebra. This approach is different from previous studies in that most studies exploring the relation between mathematical and spatial reasoning use basic arithmetic tasks, or simply use one or two general math tasks that do not distinguish between the different types of math taught in schools. Second, selecting strands from the education system is an ecologically valid approach and will make our findings more directly applicable to real-world situations in education, as the math strands selected are the ones commonly used in schools. The third novel approach, consisting of using a network-based analysis approach, in addition to classic factor analysis, to better visualize and draw more detailed inferences about the relations between specific math and spatial tasks. Behavioral sciences are replete with theoretical frameworks in which the structure of associative networks is of central interest, and mapping these associative networks in graphical form is likely to be of significant value. We believe that to be the case here, to map the relations between tasks in the spatial and mathematical domains. Taken together, the results of this study have both theoretical implications for our understanding of the space-math relation, whether it is domain general or domain specific, and practical implications for our understanding of the limitations of transfer between spatial training paradigms and mathematical tasks. Because the relation between mathematics and spatial reasoning has been found throughout development, including adulthood, we anticipate the general findings from Mix et al. 2016-2017 to be replicated in the present dataset. More specifically, we expect to find two factors, one spatial and one mathematical, when performing the cross-domain factor analyses, with all tasks loading onto their respective domains. Based on the studies discussed earlier, we predict that 1. The tasks measuring spatial visualization and mental rotation performance will both be related to the math domain and will be uniquely related to the geometry and spatial sense and the number sense enumeration strands. 2. Disembedding will not be related to the math domain and will not be uniquely related to any strand of math. 3. Perspective taking will be related to the math domain and uniquely related to the geometry and spatial sense, the measurements, and the number sense enumeration strands. We do not have any predictions for the navigation spatial task because its correlation to mathematics performance has not yet been studied. Method. Participants Dataset 1. 425 participants were recruited from an undergraduate student research pool. The pool is a research participation program designed to allow students in introductory psychology courses to participate in research to receive credits towards the course. The students received 1 credit for the participation in this 1-hour-long study, as per institutional guidelines. After reading the consent form, 6 students did not consent to participate, 3 participants withdrew from the study, and 25 participants were excluded from the analysis after the data cleaning procedure. See scoring section for details. Thus, in total, 391 students, 121 identified as male, 265 identified as female, 2 identified other as their gender, and 3 did not provide their gender, were included in the analyses. Students who did not consent still received course credit as per REB regulations. Of the participants included in the analyses, 57% identified English, 15.1% identified French as their first language, 0.8% identified both French and English, and 23.3% identified another language, while 3.8% did not provide this information. The mean age of the participants is 19.3 years of age. 7 participants did not provide their age. Note that we use the term gender here rather than sex, as students were asked to identify their gender by selecting female, male, or other in the demographic portion of the study. Dataset 1 has been previously used in other papers, but the research question analyses included in this paper are novel. Participants Dataset 2. Undergraduate students were recruited through the same student research pool from Study 1 at the University of Ottawa. To be eligible for the study, participants needed to have not been participants in Dataset 1. 547 responses were recorded. Of those responses, 7 did not consent to participate, 79 withdrew from the study, did not complete the study or did not provide a response for an entire task, and 36 were identified as double response, that is, participated in the study twice. Double responses were identified by the student pool identification code of each student collected before the consent form. Only the first completed response for each identification code was retained, and all subsequent responses were identified as double responses and were discarded before analyses were conducted. Finally, 56 participants were excluded from the analysis after the data cleaning procedure. See scoring section for details. After these exclusions, 364 participants remained. 117 identified as male, 241 identified as female, 4 identified as other, 2 did not respond to the gender question, and were included in the analyses. Of those included in the analysis, 54.2% identified English and 17.1% identified French as their first language, and 28.7% identified another language. The mean age of the participants was 19.9 years. Note that 7 individuals did not provide information. Procedure Dataset 1. The research presented herein received REB approval from the University of Ottawa Office of Research Ethics. All research was conducted following ethical research guidelines. Data collection took place during the 2019 fall semester, and the study was approximately 1 hour long. All tasks and questionnaires were completed via Qualtrics in English. While an online platform was used to administer the tasks, data collection was nonetheless completed in person. When participants arrived at the lab, they were brought to a testing station that included a computer, a pencil, a paper, and a calculator. Participants were first asked to complete the consent form on the Qualtrics survey, and once informed consent was obtained, the study commenced. The math questions were completed first, followed by the spatial tasks and the demographic questionnaire. Note: participants also completed questionnaires measuring their math anxiety, general anxiety, and spatial anxiety. These questionnaires were not included in these analyses because they did not correspond to our objectives for this paper. Procedure Dataset 2. The procedure for Dataset 2 was identical to Dataset 1 with the following exceptions. Data collection took place during the 2020 summer and fall semesters. Participants completed the study remotely due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Participants were instructed that they needed a computer, a pencil, a paper, a calculator, and a quiet room to participate in the study. Participants were first asked to complete the consent form on the Qualtrics survey and, once informed consent was obtained, the study commenced. Participants completed the same math questions in the same five spatial tasks used in Dataset 1 and a measure of working memory. Unlike the first study, the presentation order of these three sections were randomized across participants. The presentation order of the five math strands and the five spatial tasks were also randomized. Finally, participants completed the demographic questionnaire last. Although this study was not pre-registered, all materials and data for both datasets are available at the following link: https://osf.io/a78qj/question-mark-view_onl=0F4B407A1A6C4708B402CE5D011B0BBE. Measures. Spatial tasks. Our five measures of spatial reasoning were selected based on the current literature on spatial reasoning, and tasks easily available to us that were appropriate for adults. We attempted to select a variety of different spatial tasks found in the literature, but we would like to point out that our tasks do not cover all possible types of spatial tasks. In addition, we would like to remind the reader that there are inconsistencies in the literature on how to classify and name spatial tasks. Mental rotation was measured with a computerized mental rotation task. Participants were shown two 3D objects made of 10 adjoining cubes which were oriented in different directions, figure 1A. The participants were asked to identify whether they thought the two objects shown were the same objects oriented differently, or if there were two different objects by pressing same or different on the screen. There were 15 trials in this task, presented one at a time without a time limit. Once a participant selected a response, their response time for the trial was recorded and they were automatically directed to the next trial. Dot localization. A modified computerized version of the dot localization task was used to evaluate participants' performance in spatial visualization. For this task, the participants were first presented with a rectangle containing two dots for 125 milliseconds. Once this rectangle has disappeared, the participant was presented with another rectangle containing a grid and was asked to press locations within the grid to identify where the two dots, previously shown, would have been located if both rectangles had been superimposed, figure 1B. There were 15 trials in this task, presented one at a time without a time limit for answering. Navigation. To measure participants' navigation performance, a modified and computerized version of the roadmap test of directional sense was used. For this task, participants were presented with a map that contained a dotted path. On each street corner, participants were shown the letter R, right turn, or the letter L, left turn, to demonstrate the direction they would be turning if they were walking along the dotted path. However, not every turn was labeled correctly. Therefore, participants were required to press Y, yes, or N, no, to identify whether they agreed or disagreed with the direction provided. See Figure 1C. Three maps were presented one at a time with 3, 17, and 33 turns without a time limit. Only the third map with 33 turn was used to score performance. The other two were used as practice trials as per Ferguson et al. 2015. Disembedding. Participants' disembedding performance was measured with a computerized and modified version of the embedded figures task. For this task, a complex two-dimensional line drawing is shown to the participant, and they are asked to identify which figure out of the five simple line figures is present in the complex drawing. See Figure 1D. There were 9 trials in this task, presented one at a time without a time limit. The 5 simple figures presented on each trial were always the same. Once a participant selected a response, their response time for the trial was recorded and they were automatically directed to the next trial. Perspective taking. To measure participants' performance in perspective taking, individuals were asked to complete the Higardi test. For this task, participants were shown a screen with a variety of common objects, cat, car, house, etc., in an arrow circle. The participants were asked to imagine that they were standing in the location of the object in question. For example, object A in the middle of the circle and facing a particular point. For example, object B at the top of the circle. They were then asked to determine in which direction they would find a third object, for example, object C, by using the mouse to click the appropriate area. See Figure 1E. There were 15 trials in this task, presented one at a time without a time limit. Once a participant selected a response, their response time for the trial was recorded and they were automatically directed to the next trial. Math test. Participants were asked to complete a short mathematical test composed of a variety of 5th average ages 10 to 11 to 7th average ages 12 to 13 grade questions. These questions were designed by a math curriculum specialist, and they were designed to evaluate concepts taught in the 5 strands of mathematics evaluated in 5th to 7th grade by the Ontario Mathematics Curriculum. More specifically, individuals were asked to answer 10 questions in each of the following strands: data management and probability, geometry and spatial sense, number sense and numeration, measurement, and algebra. These questions were designed to be similar to questions that could be present on a provincially standardized math test. Thus, participants were presented with a math problem and were given 4 multiple choice answers to choose from. Once the participant had selected their choice, they were automatically directed to the next question. Questions were presented one at a time without a time limit. These questions were used as the mathematical concepts addressed in these questions are presented early enough in Canadian education that participants should be familiar with these types of questions, that is, increasing the likelihood of having participants be able to solve the math problems. See Figure 2 for a sample of the math questions. Data management and probability. This strand deals with different ways to gather, organize, display, and analyze data, as well as probability models and situations, while applying this knowledge to real-world situations. In this strand, we ask questions to evaluate an individual's ability to interpret graphs, calculate the probability that something may or may not occur, calculate a missing value based on an average, and calculate means and medians. Measurement. In this strand, students learned about units and processes involved in measurements and applied them to real-life scenarios. Participants were asked to calculate areas, perimeters, and volumes, complete conversions of grams to kilograms, and calculate distances in kilometers an hour. Number sense enumeration. This strand involves understanding basic numbers, operations, and strategies to solve problems. In this strand, we ask questions about fractions, time, for example, numbers of minutes in 1 year, adding and subtracting decimals, and calculation of monetary costs. Geometry and spatial sense. In this strand, students learn basic shapes and figures, their attributes and geometric properties, as well as skills related to location and movements and the use of the Cartesian plane. To evaluate an individual's proficiency in the strand, we ask questions related to translation, rotation and reflection of shapes, naming geometric shapes and properties, and ask individuals to locate objects on the Cartesian plane. Algebra. Algebra is the study of patterns and relationships and deals with solving equations. To evaluate individuals' proficiency in this strand of math, We ask participants to use addition, subtractions, multiplications, and divisions to find missing numbers in equations and to demonstrate equality in equations with unknown quantities on both sides. Working memory. Participants in Dataset 2 also completed a measure of WM capacity, a computerized version of the backward letter span BLS task, which was adapted from the backward digit span task on the Welsher Intelligence Scale for Children, 3rd edition. The participants were visually shown a series of letters at a rate of one letter per second. Participants had to recall the letters shown in backwards order. The series of letters ranged from 2 letters to 8, starting with 2 letters and increasing by 1 letter every 2 trials. That is, level 1 equals 2 letters, level 2 equals 3 letters, level 7 equals 8 letters. Scoring was based on the highest number of letters in a series correctly recalled by the participant, thus scoring ranged from 0 to 8. Scoring was discontinued when the participants failed both trials at any given level. Scoring. Accuracy, ER, proportion incorrect, and response times, RTs, were recorded for each math question in spatial task trial. Several of the math tasks displayed evidence of ceiling effects, see Table 1. In such cases, RTs can add important variation, especially when one's analytic approach emphasizes individual differences, as it does here. Conversely, not all tasks showed ceiling effects, indicating ERs likely captured meaningful variance for those tasks. Hence, to use a single, consistent measure for all tasks in the study across the mathematical and spatial domains, behavior performance was operationalized using Z-scores that average standardized Z-score, ERs, and RTs. When calculating average RT for a given task, it is important to note that the high ecological validity of the math tasks meant that there was a very high degree of variability in the expected completion time, RT, for different trials. For instance, on a given math test, one might expect one type of problem to take students only a few seconds on average, while another problem might be expected to take several minutes or more. Hence, when calculating RTs, it was important to treat different trials within a task separately during the data triage process. When calculating RTs, it is common practice to remove trials on which no response was made, RT equals undefined, or when RTs were implausibly low. For example, RT less than 250 milliseconds for a trial expected to take 30 seconds or more, or when RTs were implausibly high, due to participant distraction, etc. Here, we arbitrarily determined unfeasibly low RTs as less than 250 milliseconds, and unfeasibly high as greater than 3 standard deviations higher than the average RT for that trial. Across the entire datasets, a total of 1.8% of trials for dataset 1 and 2.6% of trials for dataset 2 were removed because of these outlier RTs. Note that this outlier removal procedure was determined using dataset 1 and then applied for both datasets 1 and 2. Again, due to the high variability in expected mean RTs across trials, even within a task, removed trials created the potential for biased estimates of an individual's mean RT for a given task. For instance, imagine person A emitted a response for a trial with an expected RT of 1.5 seconds on average, and person B emitted a response for a trial with an expected RT of 45 seconds on average. The calculated average will appear to be much lower for person B simply because their dataset does not include a valid RT data point for the very long, roughly 45-second trial. To accommodate this issue, when a trial was dropped from a given task, we computed a weighted RT score that takes into account the average RT of that trial across the whole sample. Each trial of a task was assigned a weight that represented the proportion of overall task RT accounted for by that trial. For example, if a trial was found, on average, to make up 12% of the total RT for that task, that trial received a weight of 0.12. If a participant's RT was an outlier for that trial, when computing their weighted task RT, we summed the RT on each other trial of that task and divided by 0.88. Participants who were missing 30% or more of the total RT time for a given task were excluded from the analysis altogether. Dataset 1, 20 participants. Dataset 2, 48 participants. Note, Breakdown of excluded participants per task. Participants were excluded altogether from analyses for having more than 30% of trials removed for a given task because of implausibly short or long RT. Dataset 1. Data management and probability, 1 participant. Measurements, 2 participants. Algebra, 3 participants. Mental rotation, 3 participants. Dot localization, 3 participants. Disembedding, 5 participants. Perspective taking, 3 participants. Dataset 2. Data management and probability, 2 participants. Measurements, 6 participants. Number sense enumeration, 2 participants. Geometry and spatial sense, 13 participants. Algebra, 2 participants. Dot localization, 2 participants. Disembedding, 20 participants. Perspective taking, 1 participant. For the navigation task, only one trial is used to calculate performance. Thus, participants with an RT equal to or greater than 3 standard deviations away from the mean for this trial were excluded from the analysis. Dataset 1, 5 participants. Dataset 2, 8 participants. Error rates were computed based only using the trials that were included in the RT analysis. Note that the weighted RT procedure was constructed using the data in Dataset 1 and applied to both Datasets 1 and 2. To create our composite ER and RT scores, we z-scored both their ERs and RTs for each task and took the average. Shapiro-Wilk tests of normality showed that this method of creating composite ER and RT scores produced more normal distributions than the untransformed ER scores, which suffered from ceiling effects, and other methods of creating composite ER and RT scores. That is, inverse efficiency and combined performance, as used in Lyons et al. 2014. Analysis. All factor analyses were performed with maximum likelihood estimation model in R version 4.0.2, using participant z-scores as described in the scoring section. We used maximum likelihood estimation over orthogonal estimation because we wanted to allow the factors to correlate, as mathematics and spatial reasonings are two domains known to be correlated. For the same reason, a Promax rotation was used as it is an oblique rotation and therefore allows factors to be correlated. For the exploratory factor analysis of the first dataset, we determined the number of informative factors using eigenvalues above 1.00. Then we evaluated the model fit using the root mean square error of approximation, RMSEA, the root mean squares of the residuals, RMSR, and the Tucker-Lewis Index of Factoring Reliability, TLI. All three of these indices are not strongly affected by sample size. RMSEA and SRMR values below 0.05 are viewed as a good fit and below 0.08 as an acceptable fit, as lower values indicate a better fit. TLI values larger than 0.97 is a good cutoff for a good model fit, and 0.95 is acceptable. In addition to estimating the factor loadings, we also used a bootstrapping method to obtain 95% confidence intervals around those estimates to evaluate the significance of each factor loading. Results. Descriptive statistics. We first ran descriptive statistics for all the variables for both datasets. See Table 1 for descriptive statistics for each measure of Dataset 1 and Table 2 for Dataset 2. Factor analyses. Next, we performed a cross-domain factor analysis on each dataset, including performance on all the spatial and mathematical tasks. These analyses would give insight into specific relations between performance on mathematical and spatial tasks. We expected to find two factors, one spatial and one math, with all tasks loading onto their respective domains. We also expected to have the dot localization, mental rotation, and perspective-taking tasks to cross-load onto the math domain. For the first dataset, we found convergence onto two factors, the eigenvalue of the first factor, 3.59, and the second factor, 1.22, were above 1. Two of the model fit measures were good. RMSR equals 0.04, RMSEA equals 0.04, 0.02, 0.06. and the other was acceptable, TLI equals 0.97. As shown in Table 3 for the first factor, all tasks have significant factor loadings except for the disembedding task, but the spatial tasks, factor loadings ranging from 0.28 to 0.66 except for disembedding, are more strongly loaded onto this factor than most of the math tasks. Factor loadings ranging from 0.11 to 0.15, except for geometry and spatial sense. The one math task that is highly loading onto this factor is geometry and spatial sense, factor loading of 0.53. For the second factor, all math tasks have significant factor loadings, with geometry having the lowest factor loading of 0.22, with the measurement strand having the highest factor loading of 0.72. In addition, two of the spatial tasks have a significant factor loading for this factor, dot localization, factor loading of 0.18, and interestingly, perspective taking has a negative factor loading of negative 0.21. The other spatial tasks do not have significant factor loadings on the second factor. Overall, these results suggest one mainly spatial factor and one mainly mathematical factor with some cross-loading, with geometry and spatial sense and dot localization positively loading onto both factors. Consistent with the literature that these two domains are positively related, the correlation between the two factors is 0.56. Next, we performed two cross-domain conformatory factor analyses with the second dataset. The first is the same factor analysis we performed with dataset 1, not controlling for WM. The second factor analysis is also consisted of a cross-domain factor analysis, but we residualized each measure with respect to performance on the BLS task. This allowed us to test whether our factor and analytic results depended on individual differences in WM capacity. For these factor analyses, we hope to replicate the findings of the factor analysis for the first dataset. Thus, we set the number of factors for these analyses to two factors. The fit of the two-factor model without controlling for WM was good for one measure, RMSR equals 0.04, acceptable for another measure, RMSEA equals 0.05 to 0.04 to 0.08, and slightly below the acceptable benchmark for the last measure, TLI equals 0.94. As shown in Table 4A, for the first factor, all math tasks have a significant factor loadings, with geometry and spatial sense having the lowest factor loading of 0.48 and measurements the highest of 0.81. This is consistent with the two-factor model of dataset 1. On the other hand, only one of the spatial tasks has a significant factor loading for the mathematical factor, dot localization, factor loading of 0.20. This task was also loading onto the mathematical factor for dataset 1. The other spatial tasks do not have significant factor loadings for the mathematical factor. For the second factor, three of the five spatial tasks have significant factor loadings, ranging from 0.31 to 0.69, with perspective taking having the highest factor loading. In addition, as for dataset 1, geometry and spatial sense, factor loading of 0.35 is also significantly loading onto this mostly spatial factor. The disembedding task did not have a significant factor loading for either of the factors. Overall, these results replicate the ones found with dataset 1, suggesting one mainly spatial factor and one mainly mathematical factor with some cross-loading with geometry and spatial sense and dot localization loading onto both factors, although not all factor loadings were replicated. Consistent with the literature that these two domains are positively related in dataset 1, the correlation between the two factors is 0.62. Next, we performed the same cross-domain factor analysis while controlling for working memory. As seen in Table 4b, we obtained similar results with factor loadings, only varying by 0.03 or less. But there were differences in the significance of the factor loadings. For the first factor, all math tasks still have a significant factor loading, but the spatial task dot localization is no longer significantly loaded onto this math factor. In addition, the second factor now only has three significant factor loadings, mental rotation, perspective taking, and geometry and spatial sense, as the navigation task's factor loading is no longer significant. MDS and network-based analyses. Next, we performed a second set of analyses on both datasets combining to determine whether there was support for the factor analyses and help visualize the findings. Multidimensional scaling, MDS, and network-based analyses are novel analyses that may bring insight into understanding the specific relations between spatial and mathematical tasks. Consistency across datasets. We first sought to establish consistency of results across datasets. To visualize this, one can see the zero-order correlation matrices from each dataset in Figure 3. Visually, these appear quite similar. However, it would be useful to supplement this qualitative evaluation with a more quantitative approach. Because the datasets were collected with different sets of participants, one cannot compute test-retest reliability in the usual fashion. However, we can instead quantify similarity between the patterns of results by correlating the correlation matrices themselves. One can think of the correlation matrices in Figure 3 as a set of summary statistics, R values, that quantify the relationship between each pair of variables in each dataset. The question is whether the relative magnitudes of these pairwise relations are preserved across datasets. Because we are dealing with summary statistics, we can directly relate results between datasets without referring to the underlying data. Operationally, we achieve this by vectorizing each correlation matrix and, to convert bounded R values into normally distributed Fisher Z values, by taking the inverse hyperbolic tangent of each R value. Z sub ij equals the inverse hyperbolic tangent of R sub ij, where R sub ij is the correlation between a given pair of variables I and j. Finally, we simply correlate the results vectors of z values. Doing so here shows strong agreement between datasets. R equals 0.854, p less than 0.001. In other words, the relative magnitudes of the pairwise relations characterizing the datasets were well preserved, despite being collected with entirely separate samples of individual participants. A related approach, especially relevant here, is to correlate the factor loadings from the factor analyses across datasets. In essence, we can ask whether a given task loaded onto each factor to a similar extent in each dataset. Here we took the rotated loading coefficients from the two factor solutions, Table 3 and 4a. Note that we took values from Table 4a instead of 4b as the former did not control for WM, which is more comparable to Dataset 1. The results were highly similar whether one used loadings from Table 4a or 4b. In addition, because what constituted factors 1 and 2 were arbitrarily reversed, we aligned factors according to the domain each primarily captured, spatial, dataset 1, factor 1, dataset 2, factor 2, and mathematical, dataset 1, factor 2, dataset 2, factor 1. In other words, for each task, we aligned the mathematical factor loadings across studies and the spatial factor loading across studies. Table 5 shows these aligned factor loadings, columns labeled Dataset 1 and Dataset 2. As with the analysis above, we Fisher Z transformed the factor loadings to be normally distributed. The above sequence of steps revealed that agreement between factor loadings across studies was high. R equals 0.734, p less than 0.001. In sum, whether examining agreement in terms of pairwise relations between variables, R equals 0.854, or relative factor loadings, R equals 0.734, results across datasets demonstrated a high degree of consistency. Data visualization. In this section, we sought to further characterize the interrelations between task domains, mathematical and spatial, using a network-based approach. A simple starting point is to visualize the results from the factor analyses, as doing so can potentially reveal larger patterns that may not be immediately evident from examining statistical tables alone. To this end, Figure 4a visually summarizes the factor loadings for all 10 tasks. For a given task, we average its loading on a given factor, mathematical or spatial, across datasets by computing row-wise averages from Table 5, average column. Note: given 1, the high degree of consistency between datasets established in the previous section, 2, a desire to avoid overfitting conclusions to any one dataset, 3, the fact that the analyses in this section use summary statistics as their starting point, The following analyses take as their input summary data averaged over the two data sets. Doing so should also yield conclusions most likely to replicate beyond this paper. Next, we plotted these factor loadings in a two-dimensional space, with the spatial arbitrarily assigned to the x-axis and mathematical arbitrarily assigned to the y-axis. Note that this is very similar to a multidimensional scaling approach. Note, in a traditional MDS approach, one projects factor loadings into a desired set of dimensions, represented by the same number of factors. The loading on factor 1 is the x-coordinate, that on factor 2 is the y-coordinate, and so on. One typically ensures orthogonality of coordinates by extracting factors that are a priori forced to be orthogonal. Here, we allowed factors to be correlated, giving strong theoretical assumptions in the literature that these domains are related. And indeed, the two factors were correlated in both datasets, per the results discussed in the previous sections. To achieve orthogonal coordinates here, we thus relied on the pattern matrix portion of the factor analysis output. The pattern matrix represents the loadings of a given input variable, in our case a task, onto each factor, controlling for all other factors. Rotated factor loadings from the pattern matrix are thus by definition orthogonal. Indeed, the rotated factor loadings in Table 3 and 4a are taken from their respective pattern matrices. Hence, it is reasonable in the current case to express these loadings as relative weights on an orthogonal dimensions, for instance as x and y axes in a scatter plot. Figure 3a is thus effectively a scatter plot depicting each task's relative position on spatial x and mathematical y dimensions. Figure 4a shows four of the five math tasks, colored red, tightly clustered together along the y-axis, the mathematical dimension. The five spatial tasks, blue, are less tightly clustered but still largely occupy a distinct portion of the graph. Thus, the graph visually captures several key features of the factor analyses from previous sections. The math task loaded more strongly onto the mathematical factor than did the spatial tasks on the spatial factor, as indicated by tighter clustering for the former. Moreover, a given task tended to load more highly on the factor representing its native domain, which can be seen in Figure 3a as two sets of tasks visually separated into two sub-areas of the graph. Turning to what Figure 4a reveals about specific tasks, we see a key exception to the above pattern in the geometry and spatial sense task, which showed significant loadings on both domain factors, the only task to do so consistently, that is, in both datasets. More specifically, the geometry and spatial sense task loaded more highly onto the spatial factor than any of the other math tasks. This result is visually captured in Figure 4a by the fact that the geometry and spatial sense task is positioned roughly halfway between the mathematical and spatial clusters. However, this qualitative assessment does not capture whether geometry bridges the two domains such that it shares specific features with unique aspects of both mathematical and spatial reasoning. Network-based analysis. In both datasets, we observe significant factor loadings for the geometry and spatial sense task on both the mathematical and the spatial factor. And in Figure 4a above, geometry and spatial sense appears to occupy a position roughly in between the two domains. However, on further reflection, it is not entirely clear what this means. Most of the other math tasks loaded onto the spatial factor to some extent, as did several of the spatial tasks on the mathematical factor. Hence, one can ask whether the cross-loading seen for the geometry and spatial sense task is in fact specific to that task. Further, one can ask whether geometry is uniquely linked to specific tasks within each domain. In this way, we can more directly probe whether geometry comprises a unique combination of processes that share features with both mathematical and spatial processes. More broadly, this approach can help us better uncover the specific cognitive mechanisms that link the mathematical and spatial domains. To test whether the geometry and spatial sense task is uniquely related to specific tasks with each of the two domains, we computed the partial correlation matrix characterizing unique relations between all 10 tasks. As above, we combine the two datasets by averaging summary statistics, in this case, the zero-order correlation matrices in Figure 3. To quantify unique associations between tasks, the averaged zero-order matrix was adjusted to reflect only estimates of shared variance that cannot be attributed to any of the other variables in the matrix. In other words, the matrix of zero-order R values was reduced to a matrix of partial R values. Note, we did so using pseudo-inverse procedure pioneered by Strimmer. See also the R package implementing this technique. In essence, inverting a covariance matrix by definition orthogonalizes the off-diagonal elements with respect to one another. One must then return these elements to standardized units, that is, partial correlations, hence pseudo-inverse. These can be computed in the usual manner by dividing each element by the square root of the product of its constituent variances, which can be taken from the main diagonal of the inverted matrix. Figure 4b shows the same scatter plot as in Figure 4a, with a statistically significant unique relation, a significant partial correlation, indicated by a link between those two tasks. Red lines indicate significant unique links between two math tasks. Blue lines indicate significant unique links between two spatial tasks. Pink lines indicate significant unique links between a math and spatial task. Finally, it is important to note that this approach represents a fairly stringent test. A link that is present indicates a significant p less than 0.05 relation between the two tasks, after controlling for the influence of all eight other tasks. In other words, a link in Figure 3b represents a unique relation specific to that pair of tasks. Figure 4b shows that the five math tasks were highly interconnected, with each math task connecting to a minimum of two other math tasks. Conversely, the five spatial tasks were largely connected through a central node, the perspective-taking task. In addition, the two domains were connected via links to the geometry and spatial sense task. This sort of configuration, two distinct neighborhoods of dense connections that in turn connect with one another via a central or hub node, is indicative of what is often referred to as a small world network. Indeed, one can quantify the small worldness of a network by estimating the extent to which path length is kept relatively short via a small number of connections between densely connected neighborhoods. We quantified small worldness via the small world index, where SWI values less than 1 are conventionally taken to indicate a network exhibiting small world properties. The SWI of the network depicted in Figure 3b was 1.89, indicating the network indeed exhibited small world-like properties. In sum, if we distill the relations between this set of 5 math and 5 spatial tasks to only those characteristics shared by each pair of tasks, we see that they organize themselves into distinct domains, a result that corroborates the factor analyses above. Further, we see that these domains are linked via the geometry and spatial sense task. In particular, geometry and spatial sense shares unique characteristics with both specific math tasks, measurement and data management, and specific spatial tasks, perspective taking and dot localization. In this way, we can answer in the affirmative that geometry indeed bridges the math and spatial domains. Moreover, this bridge consists of a specific constellation of shared cognitive processes. That is, geometry consists of a set of underlying cognitive processes, some of which are unique to specific types of spatial processing, and others are unique to specific types of mathematical processing. It is thus not the case that all math tasks are inherently spatial and vice versa. Instead, the links between domains arise from a specific subset of skills that are common to both domains, and geometry happens to comprise a particularly large number of these cross-domain skills. Discussion. On average, people who perform better on measures of spatial skill tend to perform better on measures of mathematical skill. While this relation is often discussed in general terms, it is imperative to remember that mathematical reasoning and spatial reasoning are umbrella terms used to represent a constellation of different skills. Further, research in this area is leaning towards domain-specific relations between these two constructs, and not only a domain-general relation. Indeed, Within any given mathematical task or spatial task, there are a host of cognitive processes at play. As such, understanding if specific links exist between performance on different mathematical tasks and spatial tasks is highly important to begin uncovering what these cognitive processes might be. In this work, we sought to explore specific relations using factor analysis, MDS, and network-based analyses between performance on five different spatial tasks and five different math tasks in undergraduate students. The factor analyses represented a more classic method of exploring relations between two constructs, while the MDS analysis allowed us to visualize the results of the factor analyses and gain more information on the unique relations between performance on the spatial and math tasks. The network-based analysis, where we tested for significant correlations between each pair of tasks after controlling for all eight other tasks, significant partial correlations, then helped us identify which pair of tasks share unique variance. Space and map, related but distinct constructs. Results from the factor analyses revealed a two-factor model with a spatial factor and a mathematical factor. In dataset 1, all of the math tasks loaded onto the mathematical factor and all but one spatial task loaded onto the spatial factor, the disembedding task, did not significantly load onto either factor. Further, the two factors were significantly and positively related to one another. The two-factor model was replicated in the confirmatory factor analyses conducted using dataset 2, the only difference being that the only three spatial tasks loaded significantly onto the spatial factor. These results replicated those of Mix and colleagues 2016-2017, who also found a two-factor model in factor analyses of spatial and mathematical tasks in children. This evidence is consistent with the idea that spatial reasoning and mathematical reasoning are two related but distinct constructs. The results generated via the MDS and network-based analyses were also consistent with the related but distinct constructs relation between spatial and mathematical reasoning. Indeed, the tasks were visually organized in two separate but related cluster of tasks. The math tasks formed a tight, highly interconnected cluster that was strongly associated with the mathematical factor, except for the geometry and spatial sense task, which is farther away from the math cluster and seems as strongly associated with the mathematical factor as the spatial factor. On the other hand, the spatial tasks were not as tightly clustered and interconnected, but were all more strongly associated with the spatial factor than the mathematical factor. Overlap of the spatial tasks. Interestingly, there was less disinterconnectedness within the spatial factor compared to the math factor. The disembedding task did not significantly load into the spatial factor in either dataset. The dot localization task did not load onto the spatial factor in the second factor analysis, and there were fewer unique relations between the spatial tasks than between the math tasks in the network-based analysis. These data may indicate that the math tasks share more overlapping variance with one another than do the spatial tasks. The data presented herein are inconsistent with those reported by Mix and colleagues 2016-2017, who explored relations between math and spatial tasks in children and found that spatial tasks always correlated with the spatial factor in children. While it is not clear why we see a different pattern of the data than Mix and colleagues 2016-2017, with respect to the degree of overlap of the spatial tasks, there are multiple possible explanations for this discrepancy. First, this difference may be because, although similar, different spatial tasks were used between the Mix and colleagues 2016-2017 studies, and the current study in correlations between tasks and the spatial factor may be task-specific. A second possible explanation for the difference between our findings and those of Mix and colleagues 2016-2017 may have to do with the age of participants. Indeed, it is possible that as we age, spatial skills become more differentiated and/or a wider array of strategies can be used to complete spatial tasks. We cannot determine from the current dataset why this small discrepancy exists because of our results and those of Mix and colleagues 2016-2017. We nonetheless believe that uncovering the explanation for this discrepancy represents an interesting avenue for future research, one that will require studies with longitudinal design that follow a cohort of people over a number of years. Cross-domain factor loadings and relations. Our results also revealed two cross-domain factor loadings in the factor analyses and interesting patterns of specific relations in the network-based analysis. suggesting domain-specific relations between the spatial and mathematical tasks. First, the strongest cross-domain factor loading was the geometry and spatial senses task. When we combined datasets and averaged factor loadings from both factor analysis, the relation between the geometry and spatial sense task and each factor were very similar, R equals 0.44 for the spatial factor and R equals 0.35 for the mathematical factor. Additionally, the network-based analyses reveal that the mathematical domain and the spatial domain are interconnected via the geometry and spatial sense task, with this task acting as a bridge between both clusters of tasks. More specifically, the geometry and spatial sense task shared a unique variance with two other math tasks, measurement and data management, and two spatial tasks, perspective taking and dot localization. From this, we can predict that geometry and spatial sense, measurement and data management, rely on common cognitive processes that are not, or to a much lesser degree, used in the other math tasks. In the same way, we can predict that the geometry and spatial sense task share common cognitive processes with the perspective taking task and the dot localization task. This may not be surprising given that spatial sense is incorporated into this strand and many of the questions used to measure this strand require students to hold in mind and manipulate spatial representations. For example, in one question in the geometry and spatial sense section of the math tasks, participants are asked to perform a series of translations and reflections on a shape in a Cartesian plane and to identify its new position. These data highlight an interesting point. That is, while we have been arguing that the concepts of mathematical reasoning and spatial reasoning represent concepts that differ from one another, even within the substrands of math tested here, there exists variability. In other words, each of the math strands also require a diverse set of cognitive processes, and these may vary between question types within the same strand. Indeed, the individual questions within the geometry and spatial sense strand may vary with respect to their degree of overlap with any given spatial skill. For example, transformations on a Cartesian plane may overlap more heavily with mental rotation, whereas determining how many lines of symmetry a given shape has may overlap more heavily with perspective taking. Thus, while we have taken an important step towards understanding the intricate relation between math and space, there is certainly more work to be done. Second, the dot localization task is the only spatial task that consistently cross-loaded onto the mathematical factor. In the exploratory factor analysis of dataset 1, performance on the dot localization task cross-loaded onto the mathematical factor, suggesting that this spatial task may be more strongly related to math performance compared to the other spatial tasks. In the confirmatory factor analysis, the dot localization task cross-loading replicated, with this task only loading significantly onto the mathematical factor and not the spatial factor. But when considering both datasets and visualizing the factor loadings in the MDS analysis, it became clear that this task was part of the spatial cluster and is slightly more strongly associated with the spatial factor than the mathematical factor. Further, the network-based analysis revealed that this task is uniquely related to one math task, geometry and spatial sense, and one spatial task, the perspective-taking task. The cross-domain factor loadings here can add to evidence regarding the novel versus familiar hypotheses proposed by Mix et al. 2016, discussed in the introduction. In our study, the mathematical content should consist of familiar math skills that participants would have learned in grade school because their questions were at grade 5 to 7 level. In a way, our results tend to support the novel versus familiar theory because only 1 out of the 5 of each math task and spatial task cross-loaded onto the other domain in the factor analyses, and only 1 mathematical task was uniquely related to 2 spatial tasks in the network-based analysis. Perhaps as math content becomes more familiar, some relations that were once unique become more general, as our 2 factors were highly correlated, R equals 0.56 to 0.62. This may be because as math becomes more familiar, we can begin to rely on multiple solution strategies to solve the same math. Take, for example, 2-digit additions. Children may first reply on stacking the 2 numbers, adding the 1s, and then adding the 10s. For example, 17 plus 30. But, as the person becomes more familiar with the math, they may be able to use a decomposition strategy, for example, 20 plus 30 minus 3, or even use direct retrieval. Nonetheless, some cross-domain factor loadings were observed within our adult population, suggesting that some specific relations between spatial and mathematical tasks remain even when math operations become familiar and more automatic. Controlling for working memory. Our second dataset included a measure of working memory as a proxy for general ability. We selected this task because it is a good predictor of academic achievement. The results of the confirmatory factor analysis were similar when we controlled for working memory performance and when we did not. This result suggests that the relations found between the mathematical and spatial tasks in the factor analysis cannot simply be explained by a general tendency for individuals who perform well in one academic area to perform well in other areas. This finding is consistent with the hypothesis that the relation between spatial reasoning and math reasoning is not only domain general, but that specific relations exist between spatial and mathematical tasks. Perspective taking, the central node. Another interesting finding revealed by the network-based analyses is that the perspective taking task is a central node of the spatial task cluster and is uniquely associated with three of the other four spatial tasks, as well as the geometry and spatial sense task. This suggests that the perspective taking task shares cognitive processes with most other spatial tasks and the geometry and spatial sense task. Perhaps the perspective-taking task indexes a cognitive process that is required to complete most other spatial tasks, or rather the perspective-taking task requires multiple cognitive processes indexed by each of the other spatial tasks. For example, to complete the perspective-taking task, one may need to use two subcomponents from Coslin and colleagues' mental imagery framework: image maintenance, to maintain the array of objects in mind, an image transformation, to change the perspective, while the mental rotation task may only require mental transformation and the dot localization only image maintenance. Future students should seek to test this hypothesis and further explore these cognitive processes. Small world network properties. Lastly, we found that the unique links identified with the network-based analysis are representative of a small world network. A small world network is characterized by dense neighborhoods or clusters of nodes that are interconnected by central nodes, and thus the path lengths between each nodes are small. As such, the two characteristics of a small world network is a high clustering coefficient and a small mean path length between each node. One example of small world networks are social networks. The high clustering coefficient or neighborhoods are represented by social groups, and the small mean path length is represented by the 6 degrees of separation between all the individuals in the world. This small world network pattern has been found in many different contexts, including social networks, transportation networks, biological networks, and neural networks. Research suggests that some brain networks are organized in small world networks, and this can help explain how information is transferred in the brain. Thus, the small world network we found when exploring unique relations between performance on mathematical and spatial tasks could inform future brain imaging and neurocognitive studies on how these two domains are related in the brain. To our knowledge, this is the first time that the small world network has been investigated in the context of the relation between the spatial and mathematical domains. This representation may provide insight into how math and space are related and how cognitive processes between the two domains interact in the brain. More specifically, some math and spatial tasks may be central nodes that are closely connected to multiple other tasks in each domain, while other tasks that do not have direct links to the other domain may still be related but not as strongly as the central node tasks. In this study, we identified geometry and spatial sense as a central node of the small world network, wherein the spatial domain is one neighborhood or cluster, and the math domain is another. The small world network may also be a good way to reconcile the domain general relation and domain specific relation theories about the relation between spatial and mathematical reasoning, whereby the central node tasks create specific unique links between some spatial and mathematical task and domain general relations exist via the 6 degrees of freedom between the other tasks that are not central nodes. limitations, and future directions. Although our study employed many innovative approaches, there remains room for extension, and there are important limitations to consider. First, our second dataset was collected online, which means participants completed the studies in their homes. This means that we were not able to control the environment and thus confirm the participants' engagement in the tasks and limit distractions. Second, one of our spatial tasks, the disembedding task, nearly had an at-chance error rate. Error rate equals 0.71, at-chance error rate for this task equals 0.80, which indicates it may be too difficult and not capturing participants' true disembedding skills. This task also did not load onto either factor during the factor analysis. Future studies investigating specific relations between different spatial and mathematical tasks should include a task that better captures disembedding performance. Another limitation of the current study is the ease with which participants completed the math tasks. We worked to mediate the ceiling effects by using an accuracy and response time composite score to obtain a more normal distribution of scores. However, the task difficulty may still have created a bias in the results. While the ceiling effect allows us to confidently conclude that these tasks were familiar to the participants, it does mean that we cannot generalize our findings to math tasks that are more novel. Future studies use a mix of novel and familiar math questions are needed to determine the generalizability of these findings. Lastly, our study was conducted using undergraduate adults. This sample has both advantages and disadvantages with respect to interpretation of our data in light of those of Mix and colleagues 2016-2017. Specifically, an advantage of our study is that it is the first, to our knowledge, to test the cross-modal relations between math and space in adults. However, the fact that we did not also include children as a comparison group within our design means that we cannot be sure whether the discrepancies observed between our results and those of Mix and colleagues 2016-2017 are due to developmental differences in the relation between mathematical and spatial reasoning to something specific to that exact mathematical and spatial tasks employed, or to something else entirely. Nonetheless, the current study has yielded data with important implications for our understanding of the relations between math and space and has illuminated interesting questions for future research. Conclusion. In two separate datasets, we explored unique links between different strands of mathematics and different measures of spatial skill. Our results suggest that, in North American undergraduate students, spatial and mathematical processing are two distinct but related domains that have small world network properties, with geometry a math task that seems to require more spatial strategies as a central node that interconnects the two domains. These findings, taken together with those of previous research, for example, Mix et al. 2016-2017, have important theoretical implications for our understanding of the complex relations between mathematical and spatial reasoning, highlighting important domain-specific relations that may vary across developmental periods. The findings of these studies can also help guide future training studies aiming to improve different areas of mathematics using spatial training. Finally, future studies may want to explore the relation between other spatial tasks of the same type as the ones used in our study to determine if the small world network properties found between the spatial and familiar mathematical domains are specific to these tasks at these levels of difficulty, or whether small world network properties generalize to other types of spatial and mathematical tasks.